This morning, I'm going to play the role of a doctor. It seems that the first question that the doctor or nurse asks is, how are you feeling today? What is your response? How many would reply, I'm great, how are you? Probably not too many would do that, but why did I come to a doctor if I'm feeling all right? My guess is that most of us in this room have had a life-changing situation. I've had a couple, and I think everybody in here has had one that has been a change for their life. Are you on medication of some sort, either OTC or prescription? And again, I can imagine almost everyone in here is. How many would not possibly be here today or live too much longer without our proper medication? Let's look at four examples from Scripture that shed some perspective on this subject. Let me make one comment before we go any further. In Bible times, we don't see people that are sick going to a doctor, except maybe for the lady with the issue of blood. In fact, in the Old Testament, if you were sick, you were left behind. And if you were to look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, 11 through 13, a young man was left behind after everybody took off because he was sick. They didn't take care of their sick. If you were sick, that was it. By our standards, medical care was either non-existent or primitive. My aim this morning is not to explain Bible medicine, but to show a reaction from those healed and draw some applicable answers for today. First of all, let's turn to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Now, I know all of you are familiar with all four of these, but I'd like to read the scripture just to draw our attention to it. John 4, verses 1 through 14. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there was at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. And by the way, they have found that today. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. A certain man was there which had been infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in this case, said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down in before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered me, "He that made me whole, the same said, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he said that he was healed, wist not who he was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in the place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said, "Behold, that thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you." As I mentioned before, this pool of Bethesda has actually been archaeologically found. So it's not something that somebody came up with. This man had been crippled for 38 years. Quite a long time. When Jesus asked if he wanted to be well, his problem was no one would put him down into the pool. We don't know what happened or whatever, but it seemed like every time this pool was troubled, if someone got in there first, they were healed. Let's look at a couple things. He did not know who Jesus was. This stranger comes up to him and says, "You want to be whole? You want to be able to walk and do things?" This guy was 38 years waiting for something to happen. So he said, "Yes." But also, it was against his religion to take his mat up on a Sabbath day. This guy didn't seem to have a problem with what the religious order was of the day. He didn't care. If a man said get up and walk, he was going to get up and walk. So when the Jews confronted him, he said, "I don't know who did it." But then later, Jesus saw him in the temple. Now notice, the man, even though it was on the Sabbath day, took his bed up and walked. But where did he go right away? He went to the temple. And Jesus was there, and Jesus said, "Stop sinning or you'll have something else." But what we see here is that a man had been resolved to his state in life but had hope. How many of us can have hope for 38 years? But this man never gave up. Okay, let's turn to another example, one that we're again familiar with. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It's kind of ironic, if you want to call it, that this example is also in Jerusalem, and we have a different situation of how they handled their infirmities. The first one, the man stayed by the pool. Second one, his family would take him to the temple. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple and ask of alms. That was his normal thing, didn't it? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them as if to expect something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered into with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What would happen if someone came in here leaping, yelling, and praising God? But anyway, and they knew that it was him that sat at the gate Beautiful of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. 40 years, it's a little bit different, not too much than the first one. But why hadn't this family, he said it was his parent, or didn't say his parents, but he was brought to the gate every day, basically, to ask for alms. Why didn't they take him to the pool? And why didn't they help him into the pool when that was trouble, like the other? Two different people, two different ways of handling their infirmities, but yet in the same town. When he went into the temple with Peter and John, as we mentioned, he was walking, jumping, and praising the Lord. Sometimes we fail to praise God when we have good things happen to us. We always remember when something goes wrong. But do we praise God and leap in joy when something good happens to us? This man was not ashamed to honor the Lord that way. The next account is in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Again, these four examples we've heard many, many times. Luke 8, 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bonds and was driven by the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into me. As they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of swine, many swine, feeding on the mountains. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And they went, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into a lake and were choked. When they that fed them said what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And also which saw it told them by what means he had been possessed of the devils, he had healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thy own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went that his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The account Jesus is healing with this possessed demons, the term legion is mentioned, meaning many, and the place where this happened is still there today. The Gadarenes, the Sea of Galilee, is a rather unique sea, lake, whatever you want to call it. But on one side, there are steep hills. And this is where this account happens. We can all remember about them going into the herd of swine, and that's, we know that swine can't swim too well. They're too top-heavy for their little legs. But anyway, that's not the point. But do we remember verses 38 and 39? This man wanted to stay with Jesus, but was told to go home and tell others. The account ends with a man telling the whole town what Jesus had done. We often do not share our joys with others. The joys we try to keep to ourselves, and we don't want anybody to think that we're out in left field. But this man told everybody in his town, and later on we find Jesus going back into this Decapolis area, the area of 10 cities, and they were told about Jesus by this man. The fourth one is just a few verses down, starting with verse 43 of this 8th chapter. And a woman, having issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could he healed, be healed by any. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng, thee and the press, they say, who touched me?" And Jesus says, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that my virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." This woman, as we as mentioned, was 12 years, spent all of her money on doctors. There are people today in our society who have spent an enormous amount of money on doctors, but with no relief. But when she realized she could not hide herself, she proclaimed why she did it and how she was healed immediately. And in a crowd that of people at that time, that was very telling. What can we draw from these four examples? First of all, there was not a name given to any of these four people. No name. And quite often in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, we find people that are examples of what we should be doing. They don't have a name. We don't need our name plastered on billboards, in the newspaper, or any form of notoriety. Things don't work out by accident. Yes, you can be prepared, but we also need to realize God does work in our lives. We don't have to put it out there on whatever for people to see or whatever, but we do need to realize God does work in our lives. Second point, doctors will tell you they don't heal you. The doctors will say they don't heal you. They provide the means to heal, but it's your body that heals you. There's a little bit of difference there. If you have a doctor that tells you he can heal you, you might want to ask where the closest exit is. Some doctors have a better understanding of how our body works than others. And I can attest to that within the last 7 or 8 months with both my wife and myself. Tina had been going to doctors, pain clinics, whatever, for probably 10 years. And she goes to this doctor. He looks at the x-rays. He saw immediately what was wrong. Now, how can one doctor see something that many other doctors for years did not? Some doctors are more attuned. And in my case, I had an elderly doctor look at me, and he said, "You need some tests." So I had the tests and went to another doctor, a younger doctor. He walked in the room and could tell exactly what was wrong just by looking at me. That was kind of amazing. But yes, some doctors are more attuned to how they do things, but yet they don't heal you. But how many times would you say, "Oh, that doctor healed me"? The doctor provided the means. A third item to mention, in the biblical examples, they were healed 100% immediately. That's how Jesus and his disciples worked. We don't have that today. But what we do have is how we believe in Jesus and how he takes care of us and how we can take care of ourselves. It's not going to be immediate. And We have to understand that, but yet when we understand how Jesus does work in our lives, it will take care of it. Then, in all four of these cases, the recipients were rejoicing and praising God when they were healed. Now, most of us in here aren't healed from our maladies that we have, but we are being able to live our life and function fairly well. As we go from day to day, we take for granted that we'll be able to do whatever we want to do. We grow irritated when we can't do things that we used to be able to do. When something happens, a heart attack, severe accident, cancer diagnosis, a hard fall, or your malady, how do we react? When we want to do something and our body tells us not to, we need to listen to our body. But how many don't do that? I was reminded of that this morning, that I needed to listen to what my body was telling me. But we just have to let the Lord work and listen to our bodies so that they can heal themselves. Think of the four examples of people, what they had no cure in sight except for Jesus or his disciples. They went on their way rejoicing. Do we, or do we encounter another malady and to be cured because we haven't listened to our body? The goal of this lesson for us is to see how grateful people were in Jesus' time. When they were cured, and to translate that for us. Sometimes we suffer because we do not take care of our bodies. Now, this next statement is going to be kind of, it might have to hide under the pew or something. But how many of us have been labeled obese? Me included. How does that set? Does that mean we're not taking care of ourselves too well? How many of us let outside pressures and feelings that relate to stress on us? How many times do we let those stressors get to us? Again, we all know how that happens. My wife reminds me of that quite frequently when she will say, don't let it get you down, because our actions and we affect others that are around us. We sometimes think of Jesus as the master teacher. How his reactions and how his teachings and talking to people affected them. Yes, he was a great teacher. But what about, do we think of Jesus as the master healer? From the four examples we have looked at this morning, we see how completely Jesus healed. True, Jesus is not physically here with us today. However, he is with us every day, just not physically. We have to listen to Jesus. I may be criticized for this statement. Do you let Jesus' agents or the doctors help us, or do we ignore their advice? Now, obviously, in a country this large, not every doctor has the same belief in Jesus that we do. But how many times do we not listen to what they have to say? If you don't have Jesus in your life today, this morning, or any time, then you don't have that master healer to help you. Or maybe we have known Jesus for many, many years, even in the decades, but yet sometimes we have fallen short. So we can take the lessons today from these four examples, how Jesus affected them and how he takes care of us today, 2,100 years later. We just need to accept that and accept Him. So this morning, we can all resolve to do better, to listen to our bodies, and listen to Jesus when He tells us, calm down, don't eat that second piece of pizza, or any other items that may be affecting us. But I just found that these four examples, and we have no names, and that's what's so unique about our scripture. These people were probably the lower class of society. They had infirmities. No one wanted to take care of them. But yet, Jesus did.